Dateline Washington, Monday, March 23rd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, let's spend another trillion. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner suggests spending at least $500 trillion, and we'll probably need much more than that to gobble up a lot of the toxic assets that have been hurting our economy. We'll get reaction from Texas Congressman Kevin Brady. Also in this edition, the latest climate data suggests the Earth continues to cool. We'll get plenty of reaction to that, as well as the global warming agenda from Dr. Tim Ball, a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. Plus, the green agenda. How much power really could be generated from alternative means? How much is your wallet going to hurt as a result of cap and trade taxes? And why are the green groups the biggest stumbling block for the green agenda? Plus, the conscience of a doctor. We'll talk with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America as President Obama plans to remove protections for doctors who refuse to perform procedures as a result of their moral convictions. All that, plus our top news is straight ahead. We begin with another trillion for the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, a Republican representing the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. We want to get his thoughts today as the Treasury Department finally comes forward with a plan to assist the nation's ailing banks, a $1 trillion plan potentially to gobble up many of America's toxic, or now as they're called, legacy assets. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg.
This sounds a whole lot like what the original TARP plan was supposed to do back in October. What do you make of this?
It is. We're deja vu all over again, getting the bad loans off the half the books. And, you know, a couple questions right off the bat. You know, is this plan big enough? You know, they're targeting about $500 trillion of bad loans. There could be, by some estimate, up to $2 trillion that need to be pulled off the books and unwound. So I think the size is going to be one of the issues. And a second issue is, you know, is this only for big investors, you know, hedge funds and pension funds? It seems to me we've had a number of willing buyers on the sidelines for the last 6 months, community banks, for example, who've been ready and willing to step in and buy some of these loans. But in truth, we haven't had willing sellers. These banks have not wanted to sell these loans at market price, period, been waiting for a better deal to come along from the government. I think this is the better deal that they've been waiting for.
Congressman, I don't want to get too lost in the weeds here, but how exactly does a plan like this actually work in terms of the details of banks buying up other banks' problem assets, mortgages, and so forth?
Well, right now they've set up a sort of a multi-headed process where banks express that they're willing to put so many bad loans into a pool. Investors bid on them. The winning investor gets money from the and a loan guarantee from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Then they get funding as well for half of the equity, and they put up the rest of the half. And then if they service those loans, but in the details it says if you want to unwind these bad loans, try to determine the real value, work them out, you have to use government-approved asset managers, which is another part of this that's worrisome, because when the RTC, which is widely viewed as successful, but in states like Texas that had to deal with it, they had terrible asset managers. They actually prolonged the recession in Texas because of their activity. And so there's a real worry that we might be bogging this down in a lot of red tape.
So what actually happened with the first round of the TARP money? Were some of these toxic assets bought up in large numbers, or was it basically all sent to a different priority than first stated, and that being to shore up the financial institutions?
You know, I think the I think Secretary Paulson was scrambling, and at the time, because things were so fluid, and chose, let's just capitalize these banks, period, and sort of rush that money out the door. And what banks basically did was, seeing that there wasn't a market, they held these troubled loans back because they didn't want to sell them at market rate, which have been, as you know, very, very low. And so we are back, in effect, to square one. And what's been frustrating is I think we could have moved a number of these bad loans off the book at decent prices if both the banks had held them and the private investors weren't waiting for the government to act. In some sense, I think we've almost lost 6 months of the solution by waiting this long.
Do you get the sense that this might be an effective plan if, in fact, there are perhaps more safeguards or oversight put in to make sure that the money actually goes for what you've been told it'll go for?
Yeah, I think the more flexibility that private investors have to unwind these bad loans and really get to the heart of them, I think that will determine the success, because it looks like, and I don't manage a hedge fund or a major pension fund, but it looks like the government has sweetened the deal dramatically to attract investors into this. The question is, can investors then do what they need to do to determine what the true value of these assets are and make them work, make them perform, whether they're home mortgages or commercial mortgages of some type? And that's one of the big questions. Just reading through the bill quickly or through the provisions today, that may be a flaw in that there's so much red tape. Once a private investor buys into this pool, the question is, can you really make them performing loans?
What are you hearing from your constituents? Maybe a little early since this was just discussed today, but it's another massive price tag. We heard from President Bush several months ago that taxpayers will get this money back and potentially then some. That seems like that has no chance of happening now in terms of TARP. What about on this type of plan?
You know, in our constituents in Texas, it just still seems like a mind-blowing amount of money that we're pushing at this problem, and on top of, you know, the first bailout, the second bailout, the stimulus, the omnibus. It just frightens people how much money the government is spending these days. And in this case, you know, I think it's too early to tell what the result will be. But I think most people, and me included, are skeptical that we'll get our money back. Now, I think we could get a portion of it back, but and while people point to the RTC of the 80s, which made a slight profit over the years, but in truth, having dealt directly with that organization, it caused as much economic damage as it averted. So it's I think people are in a wait and see mode right now.
What sort of Republican ideas are being thrown out there in terms of addressing the banking issue? We've been kind of waiting for Tim Geithner's approach here that he finally outlined in some more detail today. What would you like to see either changed or even issued as a substitute?
You know, I think most members of Republicans in Congress want the government to back out of this process more, because really the market is waiting and waiting and waiting for decisions out of Washington rather than solving its own problems, letting the natural course of correction occur. And so in this case, you know, again, I think just on the first reading, the government sweetened the pot so much with our taxpayer dollars, there is a concern, will the market actually be allowed to work in this case as well? I think, and I've always seen local investors willing to step into this market, but banks have not wanted to let these troubled loans go. And so now I guess we'll see if this is just propping up artificially the prices of these bad assets, or is it going to allow the market to work? My guess is it's the first.
Congressman, you mentioned a minute ago the list of all the massive spending initiatives that have gone forth from the two halves of the bailout to the stimulus to the omnibus to this plan. And we just heard a few days ago that the Fed's about to print another $1 trillion to buy up securities and bonds and so forth. How concerned are you about the specter of inflation right now, and how severe do you believe it could get if we don't start tightening the fiscal belt?
Well, two things worry me. One is that there's no question that the new administration is going to have to come back to Congress for more funding. $500 billion in this program, which really drains the second part of the bailout, I think won't be sufficient, my guess is. Secondly, we're well over $10 trillion in commitments, guarantees on the various bailouts and liquidity. Our debt, as the Congressional Budget Office has reached unsustainable levels and will for a decade, and there is a real concern that we will see inflation or a hyperinflation come along here in the next 2 to 3 years as we increase the money supply. And of course, what happens then is the Federal Reserve Board puts the brake on the economy. That's what happened in Japan. Basically, every chance they had to work themselves into a positive situation, their own government had to basically put the brakes on, and we're in an eerily similar situation now.
Congressman, you mentioned Asia, and what we're hearing also is that China is agreeing to buy up more of our debt. What does that mean for our responsibility to them as they hold more and more of our economic stake here?
You know, in many ways, China now owning half of our publicly held debt is a worry to have that much held in the hands of one country. I think because of their own economic difficulties that we are still the safest currency in the world to invest in. I think that helps shore up some of their economic challenges today. I don't see them ridding themselves of the dollar, but you know, I actually appreciate the fact that they keep shooting sort of warning shots across America's bow of, you know, you need to get your financial house in order because, you know, at some point you may well not be the safest currency on the globe, and then you've got real problems. They're actually, I wish some more of our lawmakers and spenders would listen to what they're telling us.
Congressman, about 30 seconds to go. Let's talk taxes real quick, since you're a member of the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee. What ideas do you think Congress should embrace, and which ones should they stay very far away from in terms of tax policy?
Well, I don't think we should raise taxes at all. You know, I think our problems are all on the spending side. And we've said from the get-go, and both on the bailouts as well as on the stimulus bill, eventually who's going to have to pay for this? There is no free money. And our worry is that you can't just tax the wealthy to pay for all this. In fact, you would just for the stimulus alone, you would have to double everyone's taxes in America for a year to pay just for that one bill, the stimulus measure. And my worry is that not too far down the road, you know, the White House or Democrat leaders are going to say, well, let's be responsible. We need to raise taxes. What we're doing spending right now is irresponsible. That's what we need to address.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Sir, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank
you. Greg, thank you, sir.
Congressman Kevin Brady represents the 8th Congressional District in Texas. He's a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. This is Dateline Washington.